a smoky church means stuff's dying. Amen. A fiery church means things being consumed. Amen. Light is being given. Energy is being converted. Praise the Lord. Brother Cody, I thought he was going to preach my sermon this afternoon. He took one of the verses, and I'm going to read it again. Take a little different direction. He did a great job, Brother Cody. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that much. And all of you that went to, we had a great worship service in Canton today. And Brother Bacon did a great job leading. And I got it. I just got to worship. That was good. Amen. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Peter gives us some excellent advice. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Everybody says a roaring lion. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now I'm going to preach tonight. It's open season on lions. Hallelujah. I said it's open season on lions. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be the first to point out to you tonight that the devil is not a lion. If he says he's a lion, he's lying. Because he's not a lion. The Bible said he goes around as a lion. But it doesn't say he is a lion. Amen. He's got a roar. You ever heard the devil roar? You may be seated. You ever heard the devil roar? Yeah, that's all he's got, his roar. Because he's the king of... King of nothing, right? Yeah, but he's got a roar. He knows how to make noise. He knows how to stir things up. He knows how to destroy. He knows how to lie. He knows how to kill. He knows how to maim. But he doesn't know how to do anything else. Because he's not a lion. He's just a devil. That's all he is. He's just a devil. Amen. Amen. But it's open season on lions. Hallelujah. I'm here to declare that tonight. Praise the Lord. In the book of 2 Chronicles, there's a tremendous story about a man that was in the army of King David. His name is Benaniah. He was one of 30 that was chosen and selected. As a matter of fact, he was the captain of the guard that was David's bodyguard. They were the ones that were responsible for protecting the king himself. And the reason that Benaniah was chosen for that position is because of three feats that he attained in his life before this. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Verse 22 said, Benaniah, the son of Jehoadad, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. Everybody say, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked a spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Benaniah. Amen. Benaniah had an experience with a lion. Amen. Let me just go back and look over this here for just a few minutes. The Bible said the first thing it mentions that he did was he slew two lion-like men. I have no idea what that is. I've never seen a lion like man. Does that mean that they had a beastly nature? Did that mean that they were ferocious and wild? It may have. That they may have reminded everybody of lions because of their strength and their power and the way they carried themselves and with the ferocity that they fought. I don't know exactly what that means. But the Bible does say that these were men of Moab. Do you know where Moab was? Moab was one of Israel's neighbors. And they were enemies of Israel always. But if you trace it back a little bit further, go back to the beginning. You remember that when Lot left the city of Sodom and he went to the caves and his daughters caused him to be drunk and actually became with child by their own father. They named one of those boys Ammon and the other they named Moab. And this became the tribe of Ammon and the tribe of Moab that were spears and thorns in the side of Israel for all of their existence. Moab then is a type of the flesh. This is what you and I deal with more than anything else. You can blame the devil all you want to. You can blame other people if you want to. But your greatest enemy is the one that you look at in the mirror in the morning. That's the one that's going to give you the most problems. And that's the one that's hardest to get a hold of. Amen. Paul said it this way in the book of Romans. He said, "For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." It depends on what you feed. Young man had two dogs. They had a black dog and a white dog. Somebody said, which one's the meanest? Which one's the toughest? He said, the one I feed the most. And he's right. You want to be strong spiritually? Feed your spirit. You want to be strong in the flesh? Feed your flesh. Amen. You want to be carnal? Feed carnality. You want to be spiritual? Feed your spiritual person. Pray. Read your Bible. Amen. Get in worship. Amen. Get in tune with God. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Walk after the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, and then he said, for to be carnally minded is death. Everybody say death. That's going nowhere. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. That means it's an enemy of God. Your mind doesn't want to think good things about God. That's right. It's a natural enemy. Amen. God doesn't want to please God. Doesn't anything want to do have anything to do with God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. But if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then go back to verse 1. It said, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. So, you know what? We have also fought lion like men of Moab. I don't know about you, but I fight this flesh every day. Amen. It says one more French fry, and I said, no, you had enough. One more piece of pizza. You can't have any more. That's enough, boy. Amen. You got to fight your flesh every day. Flesh says, read that. Holy Ghost says, no, don't read that. Read that. Amen. Flesh says, hey, look up there. The Spirit says, don't look there. Look here. Amen. We fight that battle. They're like men of Moab. We deal with them every day. Amen. But I'm telling you something tonight. You hear me? Hey, there's an open season on lions. Amen. It's time for us to take out the lions. Amen. And then it says that he slew an Egyptian. Now this is quite a feat. This Egyptian was 5 cubits. That means he was at least 9 feet tall. That's a big fella. And it said his spear looked like a weaver's beam. Now that means it was about 5 inches around. It's a big weapon. It's like carrying a flagpole or a telephone pole to battle. Yeah, this is a big man I'm talking about. Strong. And the Bible said he went after him with what? The Bible said he used a staff. He didn't even have a sword. All he had was a stick. But he didn't run. He didn't run from him. He ran to him. And the Bible said he took that staff and he came and he knocked the spear out of the giant's hand and it hit the ground. He picked it up and he killed him with his own spear. Now that's a mighty man right there. Amen. His motto must have been, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. It's not the size of the fight in the dog, but it's the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. He just said, you know, there's something on the inside of me says I can take him. I can bring him down. Amen. It's open season. Oh, lions! Amen. It brought him down. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt was a place that Israel longed to go back to, if you remember. There was education there, and there's nothing wrong with education. Amen. There was pomp and glory and power and wealth and ease and comfort, and all those things were in Egypt. And people loved to go to Egypt. They still do. Amen. But I'm not an Egyptian. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I come out of there. Said, I come out of there. The Bible said that when Moses came of age, he said, uh-uh. He said, I'm not an Egyptian. He chose rather to suffer for the children of God for a season than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. Who in their right mind would choose suffering over pleasure? People know that what pleasure is going to bring you to. And people that know what a servant God is going to bring you to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to make this very clear tonight. Serving God is not just pie in the sky, by and by. Amen. I know some people say, well, you're only serving God because you get to heaven one of these days. Oh, no, 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 no. I serve the Lord because it's joy and it's peace and it's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I serve the Lord because it's liberty and it's freedom. Hallelujah. I like the liberty of loving the Lord and living a life for Him and being able to say no to sin. Isn't that right? Yeah, but there was a time you couldn't say no. I said you couldn't say no. But God fills you with the Holy Ghost. And now you know how to say no. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have to deal with the world. Yes, we do. Jesus said it like this. John 15, he said, these things I command you. John 15, 17. That you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now I want to inform you of something tonight. I don't hurt your feelings, but the world don't like you. The world's convinced that you hate them. That's right, isn't that right? If I understand that right, everything I read in the newspaper and everything I read tells me that people think we hate them. That's not true, but that's what they think. The homosexual crowd says, you hate us. No, we don't. We love you. Amen. We don't agree with your lifestyle, and we'd like to see you get delivered and serve the Lord, but we don't hate anybody. Because anybody that loves anybody is the church of the living God. We love everybody. Amen. And if you don't, you need to pray through. There's no such thing as a hateful Christian. I said there's no such thing as a hateful Christian. Because if you're hateful, you're not a Christian. Amen. You can't have it both ways. If you want to hate, you're in the other camp. Amen. Amen. Loving Jesus is about loving. Pray, isn't that right? Jesus said, I came not to the world to condemn the world, but through me the world might be saved. He didn't come here to hate. He came to save. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should be saved and should not perish. God loves salvation. God loves people. That's why He came here. And we got to love them too. Amen. That's what He said. He said, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Amen. I'm preaching some good stuff here tonight. Y'all notice that? But He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I love this John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 17. We got to do this every now and then. This is John writing. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know why some people can't live for God? It's not because they don't love God, just because they love the world more than they love God. They love the things of the world more than they love God. That's what happened to Demas. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. It wasn't because he didn't love Paul. It wasn't because he didn't love Jesus. He just loved the world more. Amen. Hey, we got to fight this giant. We got to fight this giant. Amen. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So what's in the world? Lust. Pride. You know what lust is? It's just desire. Not satisfaction. Just desire. Amen. You know, I can tell you exactly how much money everybody here needs. A little bit more. You know how much money Bill Gates needs? A little bit more. You know how much money Carlos Slim, the richest man in the world, needs? A little bit more. Everybody wants just a little bit more because it's appetite. It's desire. It's hunger. Give me more. There's only lust. That's all that's in the world. That's why you can't be satisfied. Sin doesn't satisfy because it's just strong desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't smoke enough cigarettes to get satisfied. You can't drink enough booze to get satisfied. You can't take enough drugs to get satisfied. Amen. You can't have enough partners to get satisfied. Nothing in this world is ever going to satisfy you. Because sin has an appetite, but it's never satisfied. You know why, right? Because it's the kingdom of nothing. Appetite. That's all that's in the world. Hey, it's lion season tonight. It's time to go against that giant. It's time to get your staff. It's time to go in the name of the Lord and say, this is the day of coming out, you know. Yeah, buddy, coming out today, you know. I'm telling you, if you've been a closet Christian, it's time for you to get out of the closet. It's time for you to get out there and say, hey, why? I want you to know it's open season. Oh, lion! Amen. Amen. You're not going to rule me anymore. You're not going to tell me what to think. You're not going to tell me how to dress. You're not going to tell me how to act. You're not going to tell me what to do. Amen. I'm putting Jesus first. It's time to love the Lord. It's open season on lions. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's time. It's time to come out of the world. Amen. Serve notice. Shall join the army of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to win this battle. And then it says that Benaniah, fought with a lion. Now a lion is the king of beasts. Panthera leo is the king of beasts. He's about 4 feet tall. He grows to somewhere between 5 and 6.5 feet long, not counting his tail. That's another 30 to 50 inches. And he weighs anywhere from 330 to 500 pounds. This is not your typical tabby. And the Bible says he's a lion. Even if he was just a little lion. I mean one that only weighed 350 pounds. And he's only 5 foot long. He's still a lion. Amen. A lion can squat you up beside the head and crack your head like you can crack an egg. The strongest, largest bone in your body is your femur thigh, and he can snap that like a little stick. A lion is powerful. His jaws can absolutely, it can crush through anything in your body like he's biting nothing. I'm talking about a beast here. Amen. And Benaniah, he not only fought a lion, but the Bible said he fought the worst enemy in a pit. Now the worst place you could find a lion is in a pit. There ain't no running room. And the first thing you do when you get in a fight with a lion is run. Amen. Brother Fry's not here, but he taught me how to go bear hunting. He said, when you go bear hunting, never go alone. Always take somebody with you. And he said, and always take somebody that you can outrun. He said, because if you outrun them, you don't have to worry about outrunning the bear. Now that might apply to lion hunting. I don't know. Amen. But the Bible said that he fought a lion in a pit. In a restrictive area where there wasn't very much room to move. It was the worst place that he could have fought a lion. And on top of that, the Bible said it was snowing that day. How much worse could it get? His fingers are numb with a cold. His body's slow. It's not able to move fluid and fast like it normally does. His toes are hurting and the ground is slippery and he can't get a good footing. And he's fighting the greatest enemy that he's ever faced in his whole life in a restricted area. Amen. That's tough right there. But every last one of us, you're going to get there one of these days. Him and someday, you're going to fight an enemy that's the worst thing you ever fought in your life. And you're going to find that enemy when you're at the weakest point. Amen. You're going to come against that thing when the circumstances were just as bad as they can possibly be. And the only way that you're going to slay the lion is through the power of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you here tonight may remember Sister Agnes Rich. Sister Agnes Rich was a great lady of the Lord. She was a home missionary, started churches in Alaska, and then the last church she pastored was in Nebraska. She had a Christian school, and the state of Nebraska came and told her she had to close her Christian school. And she had a strong conviction. She said, I'll not close it. And they began to impose something like $1,000 a day fine for every day that was open. They put a chain and a padlock on the door of her church. State of Nebraska. Worst battle she'd ever fought. She fell and broke her arm. She developed heart problems and found out that she was so weak she could hardly stand and could hardly get to the doctor. And on top of that, she got a letter from the state of Nebraska taking her to court. They were going to sue her to make her close her school. I mean, it was fighting a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Everything was coming against her. She felt like she couldn't take any more. And the Bible said, or she said that when she got home that day, she was weeping, she was crying, she didn't know what she was going to do. And there was the angel of the Lord. And for the very first time in her whole life, she saw an angel. And as soon as she saw that big brawny angel, she knew that it was going to be all right. I love what Sister Rich said. She said, I didn't see an angel because I was spiritual. She said, I saw an angel because I was at the weakest point that I had ever been in all of my life. And she was fighting the biggest battle that she'd ever fought in all of her life. Now, let me just say, Sister Agnes Rich didn't just fight a battle for Agnes Rich. She fought a battle for all Christian education. She fought a battle for every Christian. She fought a battle for every church. And she went against a giant. And I love the story. And you can, if you ever get a chance to read her book, it's a tremendous book, Angel at My Shoulder. And she told the story that one day in court, and she was sitting there, and the doctor sent a note to the judge saying, this woman is not in any physical condition to stand trial. She could die. And the judge said, she's got to stand trial. She has to be here. We're not putting this off. I mean, she's fighting a lion, folks. That particular day, she said she was on the stand, and that attorney but that attorney was attacking her and just viciously attacking her in every way that he possibly could. And she said she was so weary. And she said, Lord, I don't think I can take any more. And about that very same time, I don't know if anybody else saw it, but that angel, that big angel of the Lord, stood right in front of that attorney. And I don't know what the attorney saw. He said, no more questions, and sat down. Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Benaniah slew the lion. How'd he do that? First of all, you got to understand who Benaniah was. Benaniah was a valiant man. Now, he developed a reputation as a valiant man, but he was a valiant man before he developed a reputation. Amen. Praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. I want to tell you who you are tonight. In Jesus Christ, he said we were more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. You have victory today in Jesus. We sang it just a minute ago. Victory in Jesus. You don't have victory because you're pretty. You don't have victory because you're handsome. You don't have victory because you're smart. You don't have victory because you're rich. You don't have victory because you're a somebody. You have victory in Jesus. Amen. He is the source of our strength. And there is no other. Amen. So Benaniah slew the lion because he was a valiant man. Amen. Little David, I love that story, don't you? Amen. David marched out on that battlefield. Just a lad, maybe 17 years old. Still had just didn't even have a beard yet, just peach fuzz. Shaved with a cream and a cat, you know. Here, kitty, kitty. Just a young'un, amen. But he had full-grown faith. I said he had a full-grown faith. Amen. When he marched on that battlefield, amen, he said, you look at these hands. He said, you know what these hands are? He said, a lion came after my daddy's sheep one day. And he said, I took these hands. He said, and I tore the lion apart. I killed the lion. He said, about that time, a big old bear came out to get a lamb. And he said, and I went against that bear. And with these bear hands, pun intended, I slew the bear. Amen. I'm talking about open season on lions here. When you have faith in God, when you have faith in God, when you have faith in God, you can handle the world, you can handle the flesh, and you can handle your worst nightmare. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ben and I slew the lion because of who his daddy was. Who's your daddy? He slew the lion because of who his daddy was. Nearly every time, his name is mentioned numerous times in the Bible. His daddy's name's always mentioned. He is Benani, son of Jehoiada. Amen. You know what Jehoiada means? If you don't, I'm getting ready to tell you. So, it means God knows. God knows where you are. God knows what you're facing. God knows who your enemy is. God knows how to bring down your enemy. God knows how to give you exactly what you need. God can put words in your mouth. God can put peace in your heart. God can put strength in your spirit. God can put salvation in your soul. God can put strength in your hands. God can give you whatever you need. Amen. The Bible said, for we have not an high priest. Amen. That cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He really knows, because he's been there. He fought some lion-like men of Moab, and he slew every one of them. Amen. He fought some giants from Egypt, and he slew them. He's been in a snowy pit. Amen. A pit in a snowy day, facing a roaring lion, and he destroyed them. God knows where you are, and God knows how to deliver you. The scripture said God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to bring you out. Amen. So his daddy knew. Hey, I'm telling you something today, your daddy knows. Amen. Whatever kind of battle you're in, he's right there with you. I love that story about the little boy walking with his father down the road. And they come and the little boy ran ahead. There's a rock in the road. And the little boy ran up there and grabbed a hold of it. He was going to show his daddy how strong it was. And he started trying to move that stone and he couldn't move it. Embarrassing. And his dad arrived and he said, son, he said, are you using all the strength you've got? He said, oh yeah. And man, I mean, he got after it again. He put his little hands down there. His muscles started quivering. And then his jaw was clenched and his face got all red. His eyes were all squinched up. He was giving everything he had. He said, daddy, I'm using all the strength I've got. He said, oh no, you're not using all your strength. He said, because you didn't ask me to help you. Sometimes we're thinking we're giving it all. We're not giving it all until we say, help me, Father. Help me, Lord. This is too big for me. The giant's too big. Amen. I can't do this by myself. But I'm asking, daddy, come and help me. And there's not a problem that he can't solve. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Benaiah had his own name. Benaiah means that God builds. I want you to know God's in the building business, not the tearing down business. The devil's the destroyer. God's the builder. God has one intention for you, and that's to build you up. Amen. Yes, he does. So when you come against something, it's not to tear you down, it's to build you up. If you have to fight the lion like men of Moab, it's to build you up. If you have to face an Egyptian giant, it's to build you up. If you have to face a lion in a pit on a snowy day, it's to build you up. God's interested in building us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I said at the start of this thing, devil's not a lion. The Bible said he roars like a lion. I read a book years ago. A man talked about a dream that he had, a recurring dream. And in this dream, he saw himself in a prison cell. It was nice. It was cushioned. It was comfortable. Had a nice bed. Had all the comforts that he could possibly need. But it was a cell. Had a door. But the amazing thing, he was in a cell, and a nice cell, and the door was open. He could leave anytime he wanted to. But he said when he would try to leave and when he would step out of the cell and start down toward liberty, he'd start hearing this lion roar. And the closer he got to the end of the hallway, the louder and the louder and louder the growl and the roar would be until he was terrified and he'd run back to his cell. He didn't want to face the lion. One day, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Son, it's time for you to get out of here." He said, "I want you out today." He said, "This is the last time. I want you to get out of here today." He started out the door. The lion began to roar. And he could feel the reverberation. And he marched down the hall. The closer he got to the end, as always, the louder and louder and louder and louder the roar of the lion. And he was trembling and he was shaking. But he kept saying, "I've got to do it today. Somehow God's got to deal with this. Somehow God's got to get me through." Finally, he got to the end of the hallway. He stepped out, expecting the lion to rush him. And all he saw was a big old speaker hooked up to a PA system. There was no lion, just a roar. He got so angry, he said, "All this time I've been in prison because of a roar. There was no lion at all." I'm telling you tonight, the lion is not the devil. All he has is a roar. Hey, buddy, roar on. It's open season on lions. Amen. One thing you can do to the devil is just go ahead and laugh at him. He don't like that. It comes around telling you what he's going to do. You just say, "Hey, listen to me. You ain't no lion. You just roar. I know the lion." Amen. Let me read a little bit about the lion here, shall we? Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loosen the seven seals thereof.' And I behold, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a..." What? A lamb. I thought you said a lion. But I want you to look at this lamb. "As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth." I want you to know, he may be a lamb, but he's got horns. Hey, ain't no lion, ain't no lamb like this lamb. Not only does he have horns, he has seven horns, which tells me he has all power. Amen. I read about somebody after the crucifixion and after, right before the resurrection, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Hallelujah. Hey, man, I'm talking about the Lamb that is the Lion of Judah that has all power and all authority. He had seven eyes. That means he has all knowledge. He knows all things. He has all wisdom. Amen. There's nothing hidden from him with whom we have to do. All things are open and revealed to the Lord. He knows present. He knows past. He knows future. He knows all things about you and about your enemy and about your situation. Before you ever got there, God had already won a victory. Right? Amen. The Bible said we have the victory. We're not going to have one by and by. We have it right now. You walk in victory. You know, the Bible said we're more than conquerors. How can you be more than a conqueror? That means that you have already won the battle and didn't even have to fight. All you got to do is stand in the victory. Stand in the victory. Stand in the victory. You don't have to fight the devil, but you do have to resist him. Hey, man, he's coming after you. All you got to do is just say, you stay right there. Hey, man, somebody said, I tried that. Well, how long did you resist? I say, how long did you resist? When did you stop resisting? You got to keep resisting. You can't stop. He's very insistent. Hey, man, he's going to keep trying. And you just go, you stay right there. Say, it's open season on lines, little buddy. Amen. You stay right there. Amen. He can't come after you because the Bible says you can just resist him. Now, I got a little ahead of myself and I don't like to do this. We use that verse a whole lot. But I like to get to the first part because that's how you resist. The Bible says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves unto the Lord. Don't try to resist the devil until you've humbled yourself. In pride, you can't resist him. In your strength, you can't resist him. In your knowledge, you can't resist him. The only way you can do that is when you have humbled yourself. Amen. Before God. Amen. And he has clothed you with his strength. Then you can resist the devil. Because then you're not going in your strength. You're going in his strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to know something. It's open season on lines. No, don't you get to listen to your enemy today. You listen to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the enemy? It's your flesh. You're going to overcome the flesh. The Bible said you just walk after the Spirit. Amen. Where are you going today, Lord? I want to be part of this. Amen. Brother Chester Wright riding in his car, and he said, God, he said, whatever you're doing today, he said, I want to be part of it. Whatever you're doing today, I want to be part of it. And he said, the Lord spoke back and said, Chester, wouldn't it better rather me be part of your day if you'd be part of my day? Amen. Instead of you being part of what I'm doing, wouldn't it be better if I'm part of what you're doing? Yes. Amen. Kind of getting the cart before the horse, right? Yes. Amen. So Lord, whatever you're busy about today, I want to be in on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Walking after the Spirit. Amen. After the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Seeking after the Spirit. Seeking after the Lord. Amen. That's the key. That's a secret. That's how this victory is won. Let's stand together. Thank you so very much for your time here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's important that we know tonight that we are not defeated. We are not defeated. Amen. The church is victorious. There is a predetermined victory for the church. Now, you've got to determine whether you're going to stay in the church or not. But this church is already guaranteed a victory. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. We're already guaranteed a victory. Amen. The victory's already won. I just have to determine if I'm going to be part of it or not. I don't know about you, but I come too far to change teams now. Yeah, I never did like to be on a losing team anyway. I said, I never did like to be on a losing team anyway. Yeah, I like to be on the winning side. Amen. You know why I love the church? Because this is the winning side. You know why I want to be on the Lord's side? Because that's the winning side. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. You just got to make up your mind which side you're going to be on tonight. Amen. Praise God. I've got it all invested in this, and I don't have any other alternative plan. This is it. And this is it. Hey, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anything else to do. This is it. Amen. It's all in Him. Anybody believe that tonight? Praise God. It's all in Him. Oh, the mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things are made, the essence of the Godhead in Jesus is displayed. It's all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him. It is all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. He's Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe, the Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the author of redemption. Oh, glory to His name. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. The Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the living Word incarnate, the helpless sinner's friend, our wisdom and perfection, our righteousness and power, yea, all we need in Jesus, we find this very hour. Oh, it's all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him. It is all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Our God, for whom we've waited, will be the glad refrain of Israel recreated when Jesus comes again. He will come and save us, our King and Priest to be. For in Him dwells all fullness, and Lord, all is He. It's all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. Yes, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. I said the mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Oh, the mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You need victory, it's in Jesus. You need healing, it's in Jesus. You need deliverance, it's in Jesus. Amen. You need peace, it's in Jesus. You need joy, it's in Jesus. Everything you need, it's in Jesus. Amen. The Bible said, we're complete in Him. Nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. When He said it's finished, He meant it. It's all done. That's all done. Hallelujah. Everything's done. Amen. Boy, and it's been a good day. My, 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 my. Woo! Hallelujah. I understand that heaven's better than this, but this is pretty good. Amen. My, what a day. My, what a day. Amen. Three beautiful services. Amen. More to come if the Lord tarries. Amen. Wednesday night, We'll be studying about the seventh seal. Book of Revelation, seventh seal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some bad things going to happen on this old earth, but hey, amen. We got an escape route here. Amen. We don't have to worry about it. He's going to take care of his church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll shake some hands and give away some smiles and hugs. And God bless you in Jesus' name.